The rest of us are going to talk about the quest for consistent daily living. And I've kind of struggled with this message. Yes? Did you want to come up and see me? Hi, Ruby. Do you want to go back to children's church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Head out with those girls right there. Could you big girls take Ruby and Nova to children's church?
Nova doesn't want
to
go.
Nova doesn't want to go? Well, she can go if she wants to. So, Are you going to go? Are you going to go to children's church?
No.
No. Okay, well, go sit with Nana then. Because unless you're going to preach, which probably could be likely that she would. Nova comes up with some amazing things from time to time. So, there was this pastor who was kind of a rising star in pastordom. I just made that up. Pastordom. And he was invited to do this all-day conference, so he was psyched about doing that. And so he set his alarm clock, and as fate would have it, his alarm didn't go off, so he woke up late. And he was in a hurry, and he cut himself shaving, so he had to deal with that. He got out the shirt he was planning to wear. It was an iron, so he had to deal with that. Went out to get in his car. He was already running behind of what he wanted to be, and found he had a flat tire. So he had to change the tire. So by that time, he was frustrated, distraught, disheveled somewhat. So he jumps in his car, and he speeds off, pedal to the metal. And as it would have it, as fate would have it, he ran through a stop sign, and obviously there was a policeman there, and the policeman pulled him over. And the policeman walked calmly up to the car, and the pastor rolled his window down, and he said, "Well, just go ahead and give me a ticket." He said, "Everything else has gone wrong today." And the policeman said, "Yeah, I used to have days like that too before I was a Christian." Yeah. So, consistent. We're going to talk about consistency. I think that this is something that God desires for us. So, I kind of was, with this message, kind of all over the place, but hopefully it's going to find its focus before we finish all of it. So, what's consistent? What is consistent in your life? I can tell you what it is for me. I say almost every morning, I get up, and the first thing I do is head for the shower, and I brush my teeth. That's probably a good habit, good thing. I'm very consistent. Take a shower, brush my teeth, first thing in the morning. Most mornings when I get up, so I get my shower, I get my teeth brushed, I go, I take my vitamins, okay, and I go and have a small glass of orange juice and a small bowl of homemade granola cereal. My wife went out, but she makes really good homemade granola. So that's what I have for breakfast. I'm really consistent, pretty consistent on that. Most mornings, you can find me here at church. I've been pretty consistent with that for about almost 39 years now. So most mornings, I'm here at church. What are the things in your life that are consistent? I think most of us are pretty consistent with eating. How many of you are consistent with eating? I eat two or three, sometimes snacks in between meals a day. So I'm real consistent about that. But think about this. Think about this, what if? What if you turned the lights on in your house and they only came on 1 out of 5 times? Would you be happy with that? If you got into your car and it only started 1 out of 3 times, you're saying, I have a car like that. No, I don't think you'd be happy with that. I don't think that would work. If you turned on the water at home and it only came on 1 out of 2 times, or if you were an employer and your employees showed up 1 out of 5 days in the week, that inconsistency would not do, would it? Say no. No, it wouldn't. So is it okay that we are often rather inconsistent in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual disciplines? Is that okay? That we just be up and down all over the place. And secondly, what are we doing about the inconsistencies that we all have in this area? Every athlete, every musician, every surgeon for that matter, anyone who regularly performs a particular motor skill knows that it becomes fine-tuned with practice. Through the repetition, practice of motor skills, they become automatic. Everyday activities for most of us, typing on a keyboard. I know kids that text on their phone, and I don't think they even think about it. I mean, they can text faster than I can talk. Those motor skills become automatic. If you have normal neurological function, they become automatic. Researchers are just discovering how these things are hardwired in our brains. Now, what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that we need that kind of consistency in our spiritual lives. So we're not focusing on motor skills this morning, but consistency in our spiritual life. How is it possible that we can grow, that we can be consistent in our daily walk with Jesus? How can we avoid the ups and downs that seem to plague our spiritual lives? How can we hardwire our minds and our spirits so that we continually and consistently seek God, grow in our spiritual lives? How can we avoid this roller coaster of emotion that seems to plague and derail most of us? Now understand, this up and down thing, this is not a new phenomenon. If you read the Bible, especially if in especially David, as you find, he will go from the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. Just get your attention there a little bit. So we find this, and often you can see that in a single psalm. You'll see David in the pits, and then you'll see him on the mountaintop. Let me give you an illustration here real quick. He says, the beginning of Psalm 55, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me." That's pretty well in the pits, isn't it? So later on in the psalm, he said, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you." You see what happened there? He started out in the pits and he ended up saying an amazing statement, an affirmation of his faith. So rather than this roller coaster of up and down, I believe that God desires something better for us. The Bible tells us that God values consistency in our daily lives. So in a couple of days, we're going to start a brand new year. So now's a good time for us to start over, to take inventory, to plan for consistency, to plan for growth in our spiritual lives. God desires that for us. How can we make it a reality? Well, Jesus came to show us a better way. He also came to provide that better way. In John chapter 15, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide." What does it mean? What does it look like for us to abide in Christ? To know him better. Earlier in John's gospel, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So following would connotate a consistency. When you stop following Jesus or you stop abiding in him, that's when you get into trouble. That's when the sheep gets lost and falls into the pit and has to be drug out, as it were. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking about the resurrection. And at the end of that chapter, he says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, so when you hear therefore, you want to see what it's there for. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So those terms, to me, signify consistency. Not just being all over the place, but being consistent, immovable, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Wow, those are good words. The problem I see, and the one that I want to address a little bit this morning, is that I believe, you know, you guys look good this morning. You look real good, okay? Some of you look better than others, but you look good. Overall, you look good. But you know what? You know what I find? Sometimes you're one person when you're here at church, and then you go out there in the world, and you're a different person. Do you ever see that inconsistency in your life? Do you ever see that happening? The ugly comes out. You're really good looking in here. And you act pretty good most of the time. But you get out there. I had a friend in high school who was a couple years older than me. And at church, since there wasn't a lot of us, at church, he was my best friend. He would talk to me. We were buddies. At school, he didn't know me. It was like, I don't know you. So do we have that kind of inconsistency going on in our lives? I'm afraid that probably we're one person here on Sunday morning, and then Monday comes around and there's something different. So what's the focus of your life? What are your goals? How you'll become the person that God can use in this fallen world to reach those who are far from Him. So let's go to the Old Testament for a lesson. When God delivered His people from Egyptian bondage, God used one man. That man was Moses. Okay? Moses had an amazing relationship with God. God called him from the burning bush, and he turned aside, and God commissioned him to go negotiate with Pharaoh, to go negotiate the release of God's people. But because of unbelief, the people of God were made to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all the unbelieving generation died off. In fact, because of some of Moses' disobedience, he was not even allowed to enter the promised land, just to see it from a distance. So, get this. Moses was a man who led 2 to 3 million people, estimated, on a 40-year camping trip. Can you imagine? 2 or 3 million people. That must have been some kind of leadership that Moses pulled off there. So, in the book of Deuteronomy, we find Moses at the end of his 40 years of leadership. And Moses gives us, in Deuteronomy, he's trying to prepare the new generation to enter the promised land. And he revisits all the law and all that God had done and desires to do for his people. And if the Old Testament teaches us anything about human beings, it tells us that we are, by nature, inconsistent at best. The roller coaster of up and down is very evident in the Old Testament. So in Deuteronomy, Moses gives the people key components to consistent living. Now, it's interesting that he does so in the context of the family, but it's not exclusive to the family. But it does apply, and it's very important in regard to our children who are moldable and pliable human beings. But also applies to those of us who desire to be consistent in our Christian walk, this journey that we call discipleship. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn with me, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. D6. There's a whole D6 movement. And it all revolves around the principles that you find in these opening verses of chapter 6. So here, context is, Moses is reminding the people of all that God has revealed, that the law, and getting them ready, trying to prepare them to go into the promised land. So he says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So what he's asking the people to do is to consistently follow and obey the laws of God. Verse 3, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your homes and on your gates. So, God gives Moses these words, and Moses passes them on to the people. And this whole passage starts out, the principles that we find here starts out, first of all, with a godly conviction. A godly conviction. What do you believe, and do you embrace God? Do you love him with all your heart? This is what Moses told the people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. A godly conviction. Our love for God is supposed to be our first priority. The daily consistent life begins with that foundation. So what is it that is the foundational conviction that gives your life stability? What is it that you build your life? What is your conviction? Is it this, or is it something that you have come up with on your own? Is your love for God, your commitment to him, first priority? Is it first priority? The Ten Commandments start with, you shall have no other gods before me. So God and your love for God should be foundational. Godly conviction. The second thing is godly conversation. What do we talk about? Moses said, these commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you, lie down, and when you get up. I like to lie down, so maybe that was in my brain there. I like to lay down. Now, it's when you lie down and when you get up. So what is on your mind? What do you talk about? What do you think about? It's easier to talk about the weather, sports, current events, your work. It's not so easy to talk about politics these days, so don't really go there. Things you like to complain about. We talk about those things more than we talk about God. So godly conversation is a part of this consistent daily living. The third thing is this, godly consistency. Godly consistency. How is that described here? Tie them as symbols to your hands. What do we do with our hands? All kinds of stuff, right? Hands represent our actions, our actual physical actions. Last night at our house, we had a tickle party, okay? So we can use your hands to tickle, or you can use your hands to bless, or you can use your hands to strike, to do destruction. But tie them as symbols, these godly principles, these laws, tie them as symbols to your hands. What else does he say? He says, bind them on your foreheads. What do you have up here behind your forehead? Your brain, your mind, your thoughts. Bind them on your foreheads. Let your thoughts be consistent, godly thoughts. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house. So, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when you walk into your house, you don't drop your Christian faith. That is where you should be most consistent in your Christian life. At home, you should teach, you should model these godly principles. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Where do your gates go? Your gates lead out. So when you go out into the world, you should take this consistency with you. This represents our public life. Are we a consistent and bright light for Jesus in our workplace, in our everyday routine of life? The Hebrew writer at the end of his book, in chapter 13, he writes about, it's like a little conglomeration of things. Love each other, entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining angels. He says that. He says, talks about the sacredness of marriage. He talks about the warning about the love of money. And then out of nowhere, he comes along with, in verse 8, with this verse. He says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see what that is? What do you call that? Consistency. You call that consistency. Absolutely. Call that consistency. This is our example for consistent living. So we must abide in Him. Stay connected to the vine from which we draw our strength, we draw our life. Follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Apostle Paul. Once Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was totally changed. And when he became the Apostle Paul, he was consistent. He was consistently focused on sharing the message of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, making the risen Lord known to the world. His single goal was to know Christ and to make Him known. It was Paul who said, "It is for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ." Paul went on to say, "Christ in you, the hope of glory, abiding in Him. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me." Paul was totally consistent. So if you got the newsletter electronically, and by the way, hard copy is available after you get after we're through here this morning. But if you got my newsletter article and you've read it electronically, I talked about what Paul had to say in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. So I believe there are things that we need to forget. The failures, failures don't define us. Failures are not fatal. They are not final. God gives us a new chance. So there are things that we need to forget. We need to learn the lessons that our failures taught us, but then we need to put them behind us. But there are also things that we need to remember. There are things that we need to remember. We need to look forward to what God has for us in the new year. We are often tempted to wallow in past failures and sins, or sometimes we're even prone to live on the successes of the past, merit of our past successes. We must understand the reality that God wants to do a new thing. You believe that? God wants to do a new thing. Amen? God wants to do a new thing in and through us. So as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in His prayer for us, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed and He started out for the completion of His mission for His disciples. And in that prayer, before He faced the cross, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth." What does sanctify mean? To make you holy or godly, or to set you apart. To set you apart. Sanctify them by the truth. What is truth? Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So, I have a quote here that I ran across in reference to this verse by Don Whitney, seminary professor. He said, "God's plan for sanctifying us, that is, for making us holy and godly and setting us apart, is accomplished by means of the truth, His word. If we settle for a poor quality of intake of hearing, reading and studying God's Word, we severely restrict the main flow of God's sanctifying grace toward us. For those who use their Bibles little are really not much better off than those who have no Bible at all." Ouch. That might step on some toes, but that is truth. Moses knew how important God's word was. God gave Moses the law as a moral foundation to show us how to live. That's why Moses said, keep these laws, observe them, obey them. They're good. They're good for you. It's like eating your vegetables. They're good for you. Teach them to your children. Bind them on your hands, your head, your doorposts, your gates. Joshua, Moses' successor, when he was about to take leadership, God told him this, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything obey everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And he contrasts that in that passage with someone who builds his house on the sand. Same house, same storm, different result. Different result. Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy, and he said, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't we want to be that kind of a person? That we're thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has for us? So, if we want consistency in our spiritual lives, we need a consistent diet of God's Word. Not just reading words. I've read through the Bible and done those programs, and much of the time I find myself, especially if you get bogged down in Leviticus, you're just rattling through that, you're trying to get through it, trying to get through all these begats and begots and all this other stuff, and you're just like, really? And so that's really not changing anything in your life. Not just reading words, but letting the Word of God sink deep into our spirits so that our lives are changed. As the psalmist said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know about you, but I need that. I think we need that. In the newsletter this month is a suggestion for a Bible reading plan for 2019. It's one that Lynn and I are planning to use in the new year, in 2019. Lynn's the one that found it. I'll give her credit. She's already started with it. And it's dated. It has a reading for each particular date of the year. And we're going to publish that. That will be in your newsletter. So I would urge you to begin a disciplined, consistent Bible reading plan. This plan is not a ton of verses, but it encourages you to use a Life Application Bible or some other supplement or go deeper if you can, if you desire to. But to read consistently these verses. Today's reading I actually read was in the book of Revelation. So it skips over, it contains all the major themes of the Bible, but it skips all the begats and the begots, and I don't think it's even got one verse from Leviticus, praise God. So not that Leviticus isn't important, because it is, but there are complete copies of this plan back at the Welcome Center. So please take it, along with information about it and how it might work. So I would encourage you, I urge you, if you want consistency, if you want to be consistent in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life, then you need a consistent diet of this book. This is the guidebook that God gave us for living. So, rather than me say it, I'll put it on somebody else. R.C. Sproul said this. Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. I can relate. There are many things that we would rather do or we think are more important. And when it comes to our spiritual life, we're just plain lazy. As my dad would say, L-A-Z-Z-Y, or sometimes he would just say, you're just Z-Z, and we knew what he meant. L-A, we are just lazy. So what are we going to do about it? Is there room in your heart for God to take this story and to write your story? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Fulton Orsler is a mystery writer. I think he's deceased now, but he wrote a book about the life of Christ that I'm not familiar with, but he made this comment, and I'm going to close with this. In this one book, referring to the Bible, are the two most interesting personalities in the whole world, God and yourself. The Bible is the story of God and man, a love story in which you and I must write our own ending, our unfinished autobiography of the creature and the Creator. I like that. Will you make room? Will you allow God to write His story in your life and in your heart? And if you will, I'd say that it's probably going to be a story of consistent spiritual life, a life that reflects the glory of God, that reflects the light of Jesus Christ to a dark world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in